So we're going to call the meeting to order. And Julio, would you please do roll call?
Ms. Laughlin?
Here.
Ms. Laughlin's president. Mr. Sykes?
Here.
Ms. President, Ms. Roig?
Here.
Ms. Roig is president. Mr. Siegel?
Here.
Siegel's president. Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith is absent. Mr. Fleshman is absent. And Mr. Brooks?
Here.
And Mr. Gunther?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Okay, our first order of business is to approve the meeting minutes from May 10th. Has everyone had a chance to look at those? And if so, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
So moved.
Okay, Ed moved it. Paul seconded. All in favor?
We noticed two typographical errors, one in each of the minutes, and it's just we would like to strike acting, they both indicate acting chairperson Laughlin on the call to order. We just want to strike that in each of the minutes.
Does that mean I'm no longer acting?
You're not acting.
That's one way to do it. Just put it in the minutes.
There's two ways to think about that word. Remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Subject to that amendment, so we'll amend the motion. I'll find a way to. I'm sure there are a few more committees and working groups and task forces that need chairs, so I know who's next in line. Okay. Jen, so we'll have that motion as amended to correct those two typos. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Let's move on to bills and communications. Jen, anything to change or add there?
No. The schedule that's before you today is a revised. So the footer indicates the date, revised schedule of payments, and it includes a total of 15 payments and the total amount of $25,830.90. So it's revised in that we added, after we sent out the initial version, the Garigliano Law Office's legal fees relating to the proposed sales tax exemption extension resolutions today.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you. I'll second it.
Paul, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The next order of business is the staff activity report. Jen, do you want to walk us through? I mean, I'm sure everybody got a chance to read it. I want to actually thank you for, we were contacted by Marvin Rappaport to have a speaker at the Kiwanis, and Jennifer volunteered and did a great job. So thank you very much for giving of your time. It was in an evening, and we appreciate that.
Thank you. No, it was fun. It was nice. I haven't done one of those in a while, and it'll be nice when everybody's meeting in person again. But for now, it was a good talk, and I appreciated that opportunity. I don't have anything else to add to the staff report. As you know, all the Paris and audit reports were approved and submitted and distributed to the various entities who need us to submit them. So that part of our reporting process is complete for the year.
I'd like to thank staff also for everyone who worked so hard to get that all done. We know that's a huge undertaking. So thank you for that. Okay. So anybody have any other questions for Jen about her report? I don't think we don't need a motion on that, right?
Nope.
Okay. So now we'll move into new business. We have several resolutions, and Walter, I'm assuming we need to take these one by one.
Yep.
Okay. So the first one is the resolution authorizing payment, the second quarter payment for the Partnership for Economic Development. Did everybody take a look? And if so, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Carol, any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's approved. The second resolution in a series of what's coming related to extension of sales tax abatements. The first one is the Doetsch Family LLC 1 and 2, which is Seminary Hill. And they are looking for an extension from July 1st to December 31st. Julio, anything to add on that, or?
All the sales tax extension requests projects today are current with their fees and reports.
Perfect. And they've all, I see you included the letters from the different projects requesting the extension, so that was helpful. Anyone have any questions on the first resolution? If not, can we have a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
Ed moved it. Who's second?
Second.
Paul second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so that's approved. The second resolution is for the extension of sales tax abatement for the Forestburg Hospitality and Forestburg Property LLC, also through December 31. Anything to add on this from staff?
I'd like to add that this project has had no activity for how long, Julio?
The entire time of their project.
They actually had some reports very early on, but it's been a long time. So
what does that mean?
I think we need to let them know that unless there's some indication that they, it says in their request that they're negotiating with new investors, and that's not the first time we've seen that indication. I think this needs to be the last extension, and we should communicate that to them unless there's some real activity. IDA should not be a real estate holding company on land that's not undergoing any development activities.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any precedent for that?
Yes.
What you just said, it makes all the sense, Walter, but.
Yes, we do. We have had other projects that got mired in one reason or another for delay, like the YMCA, the Yukaguni Maitake Mushrooms of America comes to mind. There's been others. I just think it's not a good idea for us to pull the rug out from under them. I think we should communicate to them that this is the last extension unless there's some meaningful activity.
And I think if to the extent it was impacted by the pandemic, they should have at least provide us with their plan, their strategy to get out of it.
Started in December of 18.
I don't know that it's, you know, I know their letter says it was impacted by the pandemic. I have my skepticism about that. I think it's impacted by the difficulty in raising money for this concept in this location.
Okay. All right. So who takes ownership of the notification?
Staff, either Jen or John or Julio.
Okay. So you guys have that on your to-do list. So at this point, then, Walter, is it your recommendation, though, that we give them the last extension?
It's up to the board, but I generally think it's bad form to not give them some prior notice that the fuse is burning.
Okay. Well, how long are we extending for?
6 months.
6 months.
You know, that's neither here nor there. I think it should be shorter than that. And, 6 months is a lifetime.
Well, this is just to sit on until they get people so they can do something. They're not actually doing anything. They're not filing anything because they have no money. So we're just, and Walter's right, we're just sitting there on the sidelines as an enticement to whoever they get money from to say, we have this ability. So
that's exactly what went through my mind, that we're part of the sales program now.
Well, we're always part of it. We're always part of the sales program. John Knapp, who's running the property, remember that this is a project that prior to approaching IDA, the founder died while on vacation. And this is his widow who's been trying to move ahead his vision and trying to raise money so far unsuccessfully. And while, again, they note the coronavirus pandemic has delayed them, this has been going on since 2018, so unless they had some sage ability to read the future, I don't think there was much pandemic in 18. But I wouldn't not approve this. I would approve it, but communicate clearly to them that they need to have some activity before they make another extension request.
Yeah. And right now it's just extending the sales tax, right? So if they're not purchasing anything, I mean, there's no There's no taxing jurisdiction that's being impacted by this delay, right?
No, and there won't be until next March 1st, which is why 6 months right now. I hear Mr. Gunther's comments, but March 1st is taxable status day, and if this project is not going to move ahead, we should terminate it before March 1st of 2022 so the property can return to the tax rolls.
Okay.
So this should, so then this gives us to November, which is well in advance of that, right?
It gives us until November 30. Yep.
Okay. So can I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Paul, Ed, second. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ed.
I'll move it based on Walter's recommendation.
Okay. All right. So Paul moved it, Ed seconded it. Who's going to know? You're going to notify them, Jen, right? Staff. Okay.
We'll probably all end up notifying them. When I send out the resolution, I'll indicate that as well, but I think they should get a more formal letter from John or Jen.
Okay.
Wait, Jen, you just need to remind us of 6 months from now.
Yep.
What we thought.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Moving on to the next one, another sales tax abatement extension for Rock Meadow Partners, Grapevine LLC, Indian Fields LLC, and Narrow Building LLC project. You want to give us an update on this one?
It's a Narrowsburg Union project. They have had a lull in activity, but over time they've done a tremendous job of an adaptive reuse of the former Narrowsburg school building. They have a number of businesses in there. I know Carol must be someone that knows where it is and goes by it from time to time. Carol, right?
They're doing a good job. It's been, I think it was a little tough getting tenants at first, but they've done a good job.
Okay. So there's still construction going on, thus the need for the abatement?
Yeah, there's construction. When they get a new tenant, they're doing improvements to make the space habitable by a particular type of tenant.
Got it. Okay. Can I have a motion?
I'll make it.
Carol moved it. Howard seconded. All in, any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. The next resolution is for an extension of sales tax abatement period for Montrain from July 1 also through December 31. So what's going on here, the latest?
They still have some punch list items, mostly landscaping, that they're dealing with the town. And what have they been reporting lately? Nothing?
They've had very few purchases, and for the last few months, it's been zero. But they do intend to make some purchases, which is why they're requesting.
Is it zero that they actually purchased, or zero documentation that we've gotten?
Zero taxable purchases.
Okay.
Zero otherwise taxable purchases. Everything they're buying to run their property, they're paying sales tax on.
Right.
This abatement is limited, it's my understanding, to some punch list items that they have with the town that were conditions of their CO. I don't know if you've been in and out of there, but they had a great many of their landscaping trees die, and they've been replacing them on an ongoing basis.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the extension?
I'll move it.
Ed?
I'll second it.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The next is authorizing and approving the execution and delivery of one or more mortgages and related financing documents related to the Catskill Hospitality Holding LLC and Catskill Hospitality Operating Project. I know, Walter, I think you're pulling your hair out on this one. Do you want to give us an update?
Well, the first thing I want to do is apologize to Chairperson Laughlin. The resolution that I circulated somehow slipped through our proofreading here, and it says that the meeting was called to order by Chairman Ira Steingart. So I'd like to have you guys, when you move it with the understanding that that's been replaced in the original.
I was project, kind of thinking when I read it that maybe all of the past was just a dream I had that I was
a nightmare.
No such luck.
Yeah.
I was watching those upper channels to those dreams.
Yeah, this project began with the filing of an application in April of 2016, approved by the agency in June of 2016, and it's had a lot of fits and starts along the way, contractors walking off the job, liens filed. They do have a bank involved, the Bancorp Bank out of North Carolina. And it's a U.S. SBA 504 project. I'm sure not willingly, but the banks have agreed to increase the third-party loan through the Bancorp by $554,000 and change, and agreed to increase the interim loan, the construction loan, by $332,000, and the developer is putting up another little over $220,000 to match up their current proposed budget with the amount of money available to complete the project. I don't have faith that it'll be completed by July of 2021, which is what was in our recent extension. But hopefully if they get some money, they'll be able to get a contractor back on the job and progress.
What job is this one, Walter?
This is the Hampton Inn behind McDonald's.
Gotcha, right.
Or you see it right in the ShopRite parking lot if you're parked there, that building that's right there. Anybody have any questions on this project? So, Walter, I take it you have – are you somewhat hopeful they're going to be able to get back?
I'm hopeful we can get this loan closed because without it, they're – mired in delay. Rich Baum represents them. This was a last minute to get this together for this meeting because they just got their commitment from SBA. I sent it around to some of you just because it had a list of pretty much everything that you can imagine that's gone wrong. So I don't want to predict a result, but this is certainly a step that they need for us to approve in order to move ahead.
Okay, perfect. All right, can I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Sean moved it.
Sean Brooks.
Sean moved it. Paul seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The next motion is one that is authorizing one or more amendments to certain documents related to the BRR, Brothers 3 and Sullivan County Fabrication Project. I think, Steve, you're on related to that project.
You're on mute.
So, Walter, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Let's turn it over to Ed, Susie, because you need to recuse yourself on this because your husband's law firm represents the developer. So.
Yeah.
Ed, if you take over as vice chair.
Okay. So we have the resolutions as presented.
The resolution is necessary to facilitate a land swap. There's an ancient survey problem that the adjoining property owner, Hunter's Haven Club LLC, and the Resnick family have agreed to, if not swap a piece of land, at least agree where a piece of land is located. So there would be a exchange of deeds so that the 21-acre parcel or however large it is that is will be fixed in a location agreed by both parties. And
so it's a boundary dispute.
It's not really a dispute. The tax map shows this parcel in a place where it can't be. So for a very long period of time. Go ahead, Steve.
There's been competing surveys for years, actually. And when we bought it, we knew that this was an issue. It's a friendly dispute in the sense that you know, the properties owned by the hunting club is really used very sporadically. We've had a decent relationship with them, and this actually works for both parties. It gives them more contiguous land to their parcel and cleans up our line. So yeah, I think this was a pretty friendly dispute that's now resolved.
A friendly real estate dispute. Boy, that's unique.
You don't find them very often. That's true.
So Jen did notice a typo in this resolution on page 2, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the sixth whereas clause. The date there should be December 17th, not 19th, which has been corrected in the original.
Okay, so can somebody move it?
I'll move it.
Can I get a second?
I'll second it. Or Sean. Sean will second it just because we want to keep him interested.
Okay. It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Get on back here, Susie.
I was just going to say you're showing great potential, Ed, and just keep polishing those skills. Okay, so, well, no, you have to call the question, Ed. Get your vote.
Excuse me?
Did we all call in the favor. Question?
Yeah.
All in favor. You have to say all in favor.
Oh, I thought I did that.
Did you?
Yes. Yeah. All in favor.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Doesn't sound like any were opposed, right, Ed?
Nobody was opposed.
Okay, good. So your motion carried then, didn't it? Okay. Reflect that.
I told you to get back here, Susie, right?
Don't be like sandbagging. I know what you're doing. All right.
Anything Susie can do to defer taking over again, it's amazing, isn't it?
All right. Discussion. So we're done with that. We're now having a discussion on community choice aggregation programs. Who's leading this discussion?
I can update you if that's okay with Jen and John and Julio.
With me.
We started, we developed a program which we had little understanding of whether or not it would be successful with Carol's input, which is the IDA's, let's call it solar policy instead of the formal name. We now have 13 solar projects in Sullivan County. If you looked at our fair share of the NYSEG load zone E process, we should have like 3 or 4. We have 13. We have 12 that are built and interconnected with the grid. And we started a process of supporting financially towns that would opt into community choice aggregation back following the adoption of a resolution in 2018. We had one kind of robust roundtable meeting with the town of Delaware, and it was pretty clear that at that time, community choice aggregation was not going to be something that would be looked upon favorably because the distribution utility was not required to bill for the CCA purchased power on your regular electric bill. So those of us that have signed up long ago for Delaware River Solar generated electricity, I know Steve did, I know I did, I'm sure others have, you get a bill from your utility, and then you also get a bill from the power generator, so you end up with two separate electric bills. They didn't come out timely. Some of those bills, by the time you got them, included 4 or 5 months. So at the time, the decision was, let's just wait on community choice aggregation until the Public Service Commission figures out what to do with a single billing solution. That single billing solution is now mandated by the Public Service Commission, and the April power bills for people who have purchased through solar powered or sustainably powered generated electric We now have a single bill, so the single bill solution is in place. We had a meeting with three towns that have expressed some level of interest in developing a community choice aggregation model local law for their town. Those are Fallsburg, Thompson, and Neversink. Fallsburg has indicated that they will be moving ahead with it. So the purpose of this update is to just let you know that the money that was earmarked back in December of 2018 will start getting used. We've received a positive response, but no formal indication of proceeding by the town of Neversink, and we will be attempting to present formally to the town of Thompson over the next few weeks. We already met informally with Supervisor Reber. So the update is that you approved $100,000 funding to pay the cost of towns that wanted to develop a CCA model, and that money will now start getting used for that purpose.
Great. I'm just going to jump in and just say thank you, because we certainly appreciate it. Town of Fallsburg, and we're 100% on board with moving forward.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Anyone else have any questions or comments? So there's no action being taken.
Just more discussion, right?
Exactly.
Just an update, because we approved this funding in 2018. No money has been used yet, but it's now going to be used, and I think the pace will be fairly quick, because for a town like Fallsburg, with about 7,900 meters that qualify, and with the town having a pretty significant electric bill for all of its water and sewer infrastructure, there'll be a savings achieved by every resident in the town that does not opt out, and there will be an opportunity for the town to opt in. What's a little bit different about this model than the other CCAs in New York State, this will be the first one where the electric will be provided at a fixed discount level from the delivery utility's default rate. So if you haven't picked a place to buy your electric, you're buying your electric through a default program by your delivery utility. Prior ESCOs, prior CCAs have all contracted to buy power through ESCOs. Sometimes they guess right, sometimes they guess wrong. So there are ESCOs that are upside down, including some that are way upside down, where they signed up for long-term power purchase agreements with an ESCO, and now the rate from the utility company is lower. The program we're envisioning here, which would be very unique and hasn't been done before, is that that could never happen, because you'd be at a fixed discount from the utility default rate. So if NYSEG was charging 10 cents, you'd be getting a credit at a 9.5 cent value.
So I have a question. Two questions. How is our, what is our 100,000 doing? And in 18, 100,000 was very different than it is today. And being as we're now just starting, is that still appropriate?
Well, the 100,000 would pay the professional fees and consulting fees of a municipality that would agree to move forward with adopting a local law to create a community choice aggregation power purchase program. So far, the town that has done that is Fallsburg, although we've had warm reception elsewhere. And I don't know if the money is or isn't going to be sufficient. Howard, the model of CCAs and how to approach it is now much more developed than it was in 2018. There's a number of CCAs around New York State. There's none that have focused solely on sustainably generated electricity, and there's none that have come up with a model that guarantees savings versus hiring a consultant to try to outguess the electric market. It's much simpler now than it was in 2018, so hopefully the money will be enough, and if it's not, we'll come back and let you know that.
I have one last question, just to beat this to death. Is there a limitation so that there is enough if we have more than one municipality? Like, you know, we have 100,000, but each municipality has a max going into this? In other words, how do we necessarily know it doesn't all go to one or two and they're using the right consultants that we're paying? Like, what's that process?
Okay, the process is that there's certainly, with 13 projects, far less sustainably generated power available than there is demand throughout the county. So the three towns that were selected with purpose. Okay. Fallsburg, because the municipality itself can achieve a large savings, and they do have the Rosemond project in Fallsburg. Thompson, because they have the largest amount of non-commercial meters. The Fallsburg demand is a lot higher, but that's because a lot of it is two large prisons and some wastewater treatment plants and some water. Ken, is that you? And Neversink was selected with the expectation that if Neversink decides to move forward, that they will collaborate with the town of Denning next door. Okay. Neversink is the only town in Sullivan County that doesn't have a single unique delivery utility. Everybody that lives in Thompson, for example, has NYSEG. When you cross the line into Forestburg, everybody in Forestburg has Orange and Rockland. Neversink is unique, and the Public Service Commission is very interested in a program like this in a town with two delivery utilities. Where Ken lives in Neversink would be Central Hudson. If you go to the other side of Neversink, it's NYSEG. And there's also no program where there's two towns in two different counties. So if Neversink were able to collaborate with Denning, the PSC would be getting a lot of bang for their buck. And we would expect that we could supplement the $100,000 from IDA with some grants from the Public Service Commission due to the unique circumstances of two counties and two utility companies.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you.
Well, good. Thank you for that update.